hello there, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at a little ranch house on Southwood Drive right here in Lufkin, Texas. Show number 53.
Yeah.
This being, September 23rd, 2003. For the next hour, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
Well, Mr. Houston, how are you doing on this fall afternoon,
I'm
man?
I'm doing fine, thank you, sir. And Don Baum by the Carden Patterson's here.
Yes, sir. And the days grow short. What we reach, getting a little cooler.
Exactly.
60-something degrees, 61 this morning, maybe?
61 this morning.
Boy, my goodness gracious. My name's Tom Houston, by the way, but here's the creator and producer of The Blind Handyman. Here he is, none other than Phil Parr.
All right.
Hello there, friends and neighbors. It was 61. I got up early this morning. It was about 6:30, it was 61, just before the sun started coming up. So that's good for us. We feel like that's good. I'm sure if you're...
For us, it's...
Well, if you're in St. Paul, Minnesota, it's probably 41.
It's probably like or 61 would be a heat wave.
That would be an August-type temperature if you're in St. Paul.
Or Buffalo, New York.
We have cool fronts moving across our state. Our state is so big, it takes a cool front about 4 days to get across. The mighty state of Texas, and it does. It's a big thing.
It does take a while.
If you pulled out of Beaumont as the sun was coming up. Anyway, you remember that song. Anyway, cool front's coming through, and a little cooler weather, and we're happy about that. It's about 86, probably 84 to 86 outside.
Nice weather, man.
Air conditioner just kicked on, didn't it?
It did.
Anyway, welcome to show number 53 of the exciting Blind Handyman. So y'all are going to do one while I'm gone. I'm about to go on a... Let's see, I'll be here next Tuesday, which will be the... Next Tuesday will be the what?
30th.
Next Tuesday will be the 30th. And the 7th, I'll be here, but the 14th, I will not be here.
So that's the show we're going to do, guys?
Is that the show we're going to do?
We might as well.
Apparently, that would be show 56, right?
It will be, and I won't be here, so I'm going to try and have it all set up and be available by phone.
So what do we do, Mr. Houston, get a guest producer and a guest creator?
I'm going to name an interim.
I guess we'll have to.
I'll be naming an interim creator.
I've
never been a creator.
Well, I understand Wesley Clark may have a job, so you probably can't get him, right?
I think Wesley Clark's probably got a good job.
Got the promise of a...
Wouldn't you think, Wesley?
I wouldn't know how to be a creator, so...
Well, I think you're going to be the guest creator, Houston.
Oh, me?
And producer.
I'm going to read up on that.
And running that board.
Yeah. We've debated it to name you guest creator. I thought about bringing Dale in, but...
I thought we could draw straws.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Just fabulous.
Maybe we could just draw straws.
Moved his list, did he? I questioned him hard on that. He would not give up. He says he was having trouble at Yahoo. And I get he moved his list.
Jaws says it one way, but it's probably not right. So I don't really know how that place actually is pronounced.
Topica. Anyway, that's where his list is now. In case you look for it on Yahoo Groups, it ain't there no more. He's moved her.
It's gone.
Yes, he's drifted away. Dale Cooking Show was good last week. I want to mention first of all that a very good friend of mine passed away. Fellows, folks that we met on the cruise, his name was Mike O'Day, and I met him on this cruise that we went on a year ago, December, Mike and Hazel O'Day, and Mike died last August, and I did not find out about it until recently, but Mike will be missed. Mike had a wonderful sense of humor. He had that, just had that good sense of humor, the kind that we like, spontaneous sort of sense of humor.
Was he the guy in the pictures with you and Luann?
He was.
Oh, okay.
He and his wife Hazel were in the pictures, because we met them very quickly on the cruise and decided that we liked, and we come to find out our cabins were next door to each other. And Mike had the kind of sense of humor. He just skipped they had a big drill on the ship where they teach you how to do life jackets. He just told the girl, "I've already been. I already know how to do that." Went in his room, had a drink.
What a deal.
So, Mike, you will be missed. And we didn't get to spend that much time together, but I certainly enjoyed you, and you will be missed, Michael. Also, a guy sent me an email while I was having all this lightning trouble. I got an email from a guy that wanted to know about equipment, what equipment we were using, what kind of phone interface and all that kind of thing. And he turned me on to Ed Potter, and I did a thing with Ed Potter that'll be on Blind Like Me on the 3rd, I think, Anyway, he told me about Ed Potter, and I lost his email address, so if he will re-email me, I promise I will respond. I have no idea what his name was, even. Lou Ann lost it. Actually, I didn't, but you can't say that, you see, if you do.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Tommy. You got an email?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got a couple of emails here. I'm writing to ask if you know of an audible level that is reasonably accurate. I have a woodworking shop with a wide assortment of tools, but no level that I can use. I listened to your show for the first time today and found it interesting, and this comes from Glenn Permar.
Yes, we do know about audible levels. I have one that has two beeps, beep, beep, and has two different beeps, and when you get whatever you're using absolutely level, there is no noise at all. In other words, one way it beeps one way this way and one way this way, and when you get it in the center, there is absolutely no noise, and
you know you're right.
They're
on.
Fairly expensive. Seemed like it was, I can't remember, close to $50. But how many are you going to have to buy over a lifetime? Not too many.
Not too many.
The only complaint, let's see, that I had with it, that wasn't it. It's the talking measuring tape that is so hard to put a battery in.
The level, what would be kind of neat about that, though, is I guess once you learn the pitch of the tones, you could kind of tell which direction you were off level and
you know which way
to move it to correct it.
You can. The tones are definitely different. And when you raise it up, I mean, if you lay it on something, you raise one end up, the tone goes away and the other one starts. And when you get right in the zero, in the middle, there is no tone.
Do you have any idea where you got that? You remember who made it?
I think they're available. Aren't they in all the blind catalog show?
You would think so. I'm not sure which one exactly anymore, but...
LL and what's that?
LS&S. Actually, I think I bought this from Ann Morris. There was a guy in New York at one time that had an Ann Morris franchise, and he sold Ann Morris stuff. I can't remember what his company was called. I think I bought it from him, but I think it is in the Ann Morris catalog, and probably LS&S also.
Audible level.
Yeah, that would probably be a good search, you know, on the internet. Just go to search and type in.
Yeah, and somebody told me one time that they saw them at a regular Home Depot or Lowe's or one of those.
That's what I was just fixing to say. That came along. I don't know if it came along on the list or where that somebody was talking about that.
Yeah.
Which it seems like even for a sighted person, man, that would be a good idea.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before, and that's probably a good discussion for, you know, maybe like blind like me or a subject about a lot of the inventions or things that are designed with blind people in mind sometimes
work out to be,
other people. I mean, you know, i.e. Synthesized speech, you know, one-man police units. They can have the suspect under surveillance and be listening to the computer read driver's license information. You know, you have to have the second officer. And so
that's right.
A sighted guy with an audible level or a laser level, why not?
You know? Sure.
Well, I was thinking that Robert Todd, during the time he was either working on Emily's house or my house, told me that he saw them at Lowe's cheaper. Of course, they would be cheaper any place than they would be in a blind catalog.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
No question about that. Now, we got to remember, our guest today works at Freedom Scientific. We don't want to talk about too much about how we think they're raping us.
And do not mention Vocalize.
Don't mention Window Eyes. Don't mention
Window Eyes.
I think he's talking to us from work, and we don't want to mention how that we think Freedom Scientific is raping the blind community.
No.
We don't want to mention that too much, do we?
All these Freedom Scientific listeners to the show, huh?
This guy works at Freedom. I think he's probably calling from work. So we know he probably this phone call is being monitored for quality control. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, hi, guys. Just wanted to say that was an interesting show last week. I especially like that bit about grits. Personally, I like mine with butter and salt, no bugs. I wanted to let you know about a product called Riddex. It's a little device that you plug in, and it's supposed to do something like disrupt the nerves of ants and other such little pests. This house is on a slab, and we used to get small ants in the bathroom, mostly in the spring. But since we got this thing 2 years ago, Patty hasn't had to put out any more traps. It's about the size of a remote doorbell, so it doesn't take up any real room at all. It was about $50, so not so cheap in the short term, but in the long run, it's well worth it. And peace of mind, if nothing else. So thanks for providing the list where we can exchange ideas back and forth. Oh, and before going, just want to say to Tom, glad you're back. And
all right.
Dave Farron. Thank you, Dave. Good to be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are indeed fortunate here on our Blind Handyman Show in that discussing those sorts of things, we have a guy with us today who has a lot of personal experience with these sorts of things, who actually sold them at one time.
you're talking about the bug device.
I'm talking about the bug device.
And I had it one time.
We have a guy who actually has on hand experience with these things and knows a lot about them and knows. Could you tell us a little bit about?
Was this just one of many scams? I mean, one of many ventures he was involved in. Ventures.
Everybody's got to think this is trumped up. I had no idea this email was coming in, but I do know that our own Tom Easton, ladies and gentlemen, interim director,
along with Peter Michael Canatella down in Houston,
sold
Texas,
these things. That
we're in business together, selling this type of device.
And the lady brought one in that was covered with roaches. Remember?
Well, yeah. This worked on high frequency sounds, and this sound was supposed to drive the roaches out of people's apartments and everything. Uh-huh. We actually took one to my sister's apartment and plugged it up, and she actually, after a couple of days, said it worked. But now you met her.
But then I met your sister, and we're talking about Mary Jane. And I wouldn't depend on...
However, we sold a ton of these things. And, I mean, we sold them over the phone, would call and market them over the phone. And after a few weeks of this, I mean, the door opens to the office, and this lady walks in with one in one hand and the satellite system with the other, and it was covered in roaches. And, of course, we had to give her our money back.
Right. Now, I was going to say, you sold these until you left town, right?
I mean, can you buy these things at Walmart, Kmart? I mean, can you buy them?
I think so now. I think you can buy these devices in some place. I've never seen them at Walmart or Kmart.
I see them on the infomercials.
Like oh, you have? Yeah,
well, so all I mean, I ever see them is on infomercials.
Okay, that may be where you have to get them then.
And then
I don't
you
know.
See the rebuttals to them, you know, that there's no scientific...
But Dave Farron says it works.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy here that we all know. We don't know him that well. We've had him on the show, haven't we?
We had testimonials from people back then that said it worked.
And Dave's on both our lists, and he contributes. Yep. He's a good contributor, good friend of ours, and he says they work. So how can we say they don't?
And probably has the franchise.
Probably has the franchise.
They're in Nova Scotia.
The right jersey.
The Nova Scotia franchise.
My sister, I can say this for sure, she lived in an upstairs apartment, so there were no ants involved at all. I know that.
Right. She could prove that they did the ants.
It flat worked on the
it
was not supposed to harm animals in any way, but it would would harm pests.
What was the guy had said he had invented this thing to stop alligators from getting in your swimming pool? You don't have any, do you? Obviously, it works.
It works, doesn't it?
You know, so you could. You come up with a, you know, how do you stop an elephant stampede? Anyway.
We did sell a few of these.
You did sell a few of those. But I don't know whether they work or not. Dave Farron says they work, and he's a friend of mine. I would take his word for it. I would say they probably work. Patty hadn't had to put in any traps. Are both these people totals? Maybe they can't see the ants.
That could be what the deal is. I don't know.
That's not true. Only kidding, Dave.
Maybe
Dave
just had tone-deaf roaches down here in Houston. Maybe that
could be, too.
Unmusically inclined roaches.
Yeah,
that's entirely possible.
Great brown tone-deaf
Houston roaches may be tough now.
But my friend, who the ex-vet that used to take care of my dog, said, Phil, if they worked, you'd find them in Walmart. I mean, you'd find them in Kmart. I don't think they sell them in those kind of stores. Not that Kmart and Walmart wouldn't tell you something that didn't work, but, you know, the only place you see these things is on infomercials.
I don't believe I've ever seen any in Walmart or Kmart or Target or
We're
going to
get
like
some
that,
mail on
anyway.
These. On this. This
or
is,
Lowe's
this
or Home Depot or...
Yeah, or any of those kind of places.
I bet there are people out there that are listening right now that have these devices in their home.
Well, if Dave Farron says they work, I believe him.
I do too, Dave. I'm on your side.
I'm on your side.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got?
Hello, I just found ACB Radio and your show. I've listened to many and have heard you mention Blind Weekend several times. What exactly is this? Your show is great. I've already picked up several great tips. One wish list. The last 20 shows don't have a description of what is covered in the show. I sure wish a description could be added for all your shows. I really appreciate your program. This comes from Scott Watkins, and he's a former East Texan.
Uh-huh.
What's the deal on description, Shaw? You're in charge of that show.
I have talked to Dave Williams. We've been corresponding some about that, and we're in the process, I think, of getting something worked out on some show description.
What happened to our guy?
To our guy, yeah.
Max, what was it, Rose?
Doug. I'm not sure, except he's gotten busy in the pond business for the summer season. Maybe this winter, that may be a possible.
to get him. At least needs to tell us how to do it.
Rolling again. Yeah, we need to. That's what we need to find out.
We could send a description with every show because then we know what we talked about, you know?
Yeah.
Later on, we would. Absolutely no idea.
5 years from now, by God, we'll know.
No idea on the shows. I didn't realize that they were undid, that they weren't. I thought we had all that solved.
Yeah, we haven't updated those in a while, so.
And the other question was, what in the world is Blind Weekend?
Well, I don't know. Blind Weekend started out as a lark back in 94. Everything I do starts as a lark. It started as a lark. It's wonderful. What is a lark? I never loved a hummingbird, but I... anyway, we started out. We invited these guys down from Dallas, our friend John Connolly, who is on the Internet and doesn't have a virus, by the way. He called me and told me he didn't have a virus. You know what they did? They password protected their internet connection, and Conley's forgotten his password.
Forgot the password?
Yeah, he can get on with Pam's internet, but he can't get on with his because he forgot his password.
What a deal, man.
Is that dumb or what?
That is a hell of a thing.
It's really ridiculous. Why did he password it anyway? Who did he think was going to sneak in his house and use his internet account? Anyway, he doesn't have a virus, so he gets on with Pam's. But he's listening to the shows last week. In fact, we talked about him. We invited he and a fellow named John Bennett that Don Pat and I went to school with down for one weekend, and they got to come in two or three times a year, and we just kind of called it Blind Weekend. And we had Dale Campbell. Dale Campbell.
Roy came.
Roy. We had Dale Campbell and Kevin Doucet up back in the springtime as a little Blind Weekend, thinking about having them all toward the end of October. Haven't quite.
That'd
be nice to get them all together, I would think.
Let's get them all together and see what happens. We might do that at the end of October.
Fabulous, I think.
Lots of food, boy.
That's just fabulous.
we could eat some groceries, couldn't we?
Oh, we could. Between Dale and John Bennett, they'd have to make deliveries every day. Have the Swans man come by.
Bring on the food, man.
Well, our guest is Keith Patterson, who works at Freedom Scientific. And we're going to have Keith is quite interesting. Keith has some real, we have little Mickey Mouse kind of tools. Keith has bought some real woodwork type tools.
Real deal.
And he's going to tell us all about them in just a minute. We can hear more of the Blind Handyman Show. Stay tuned.
Too. We've been on with the Blind Handyman for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem. You can help us with it. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. Blind Handyman, all one word, at hotmail.com, or Blind Like Me, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the shows. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
You are are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, I think we mentioned on last week's show, this fella called me the other day and got a couple $100 of my money on the phone, so we thought we ought to have, the least we could do is have him on as a guest on the Handyman Show. Keith Patterson, how are you, sir?
Hey, Keith.
Keith?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
What happened? All blind handyman or ships at sea?
All blind handyman and ships at sea. We thought we'd lost you there for a minute. Are you with us? Can you hear us okay?
I'm here.
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, it was kind of faint. I had headphones on, but I've changed now to strictly the phone.
Changed now to strictly. That headphones didn't work out, huh?
Nope, not at all.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but we're glad to have you. Now, are you at work or home now?
I just walked in the door. I had planned to be here earlier, but public transportation, you know how that goes.
Yeah, so you live in Orlando, Florida?
No, I'm in Pinellas Park, Florida.
Now,
which is one of the small communities between St. Petersburg, Florida, and Clearwater, Florida.
St. Ben, that is where Freedom Scientific's plant is.
Well, Freedom Scientific is actually in St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is just one of the small communities here nearby.
And so do you do handy ride or do you do bus or how do you get back?
There's a program here called DART, which I guess would be equivalent to handy ride.
Yeah, which is the same thing as handy ride. So they take you back and forth to work every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell us about yourself. How do you see any at all?
No, I am total now. I have been for about 10 years.
So you could see at one time?
Yes. I had RP. I was diagnosed very young with RP back about 1962 and was lucky enough to see well enough to get through public schools. And, like I said, went blind about 10 years ago.
So just a gradual deterioration of your eyesight, I guess. And what age are you?
I am... I've been lying about it so much I have to think.
Is that right?
I'm 46.
46. Uh-huh. Well, that's a good age. I remember it well. It was a good while ago for me. So you've known that at some point in your life you were going to be totally blind. You've known that for a long time.
I had suspected it, yes.
Yeah, and 10 years ago it came to you.
Yes, it did.
Were you fooling with computers before you lost your eyesight?
Only very briefly, maybe a year or two. Had not been into it very much at all.
Well, I guess 10 years ago, there weren't too many computers. I mean, we had limited computers, but there certainly we didn't have the speech engines we have now and all the things we have now. So
absolutely.
So you've learned most of what you know about computers since you lost your eyesight.
That is correct.
And you do, as a job, you are a... Are you a tech at Freedom Scientific?
No, I'm not that smart. I'm a sales rep.
Well, now, I talked to some of the techs there that weren't that smart.
Oh, come on. They're all a bunch of great guys.
They really are. They really are. Yeah, nice.
In fact, Phil, I sold you your SMA renewal just last week.
You did. I talked about that. You
salesman.
Got a couple $100 of my money.
That's right.
So, Keith, this is Don Patterson here. Glad to meet you.
Hey, Don.
Did you live there, or did you go to the job?
I was here first. I was in the Better Business Bureau. I had a cafeteria in one of the federal buildings here in Tampa. And wanted to get out of that business and stumbled into the Freedom Scientific job. At the time, it was Hunter Joyce.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I couldn't be happier. It's a great bunch of people. We make some fantastic products, and when you make products that change people's lives, it's a great place to work.
Natural-born salesman.
Yeah.
Way to go, Keith.
That's it. All right.
Yeah, and how long have you been with Hunter Joyce?
I'm into my sixth year now.
Is that right? So they're going to put you on permanent pretty quick.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, that's good. And do you sell, just as a kind of a question I can ask you, later, do you still sell the Victor Reader? Have you quit selling that?
Yes, we did. That's been turned over to the recordings for the blind and dyslexic.
Is that right? RFP and D sells it? Because I got one that needs worked on. Who will work on them?
You need to call our recordings for the blind and dyslexic.
Call RFP and D. So, yeah, but y'all don't sell it anymore. So are you a married fella? Or are you...
I am. I've been married for, we're about to have our 12th anniversary here this weekend, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
So, and your wife, C.?
Yes, she is sighted.
Drives a car.
Yes, she does.
That's always good.
And
always
very much good. Into the woodworking, too.
Oh, is she?
Yes, she is.
Well, speaking of that, now, let's see, Don, what did you tell us while we were going to ask him?
I was going to ask you about that latest and greatest device that you've just recently purchased.
Oh, yeah. What I was doing is I was listening to one of the archive shows a week or so ago, and I think Don mentioned a drywall anchor, and he talked about drilling a hole about the size of a pencil and putting in a plastic sleeve,
yeah,
and then putting a screw into that.
All right.
And I said, holy smokes, I got to tell him about the new drywall anchors that I've discovered.
Uh-huh.
It's called Easy Anchor, A-N-C-O-R. It's spelled Easy Anchor, A-N-C-O-R.
Uh-huh.
And I buy mine at Home Depot.
All right.
And what this thing is, it's looks like a pretty funny-looking screw.
Uh-huh.
It's got a hard, long tip on it. It's about an inch and a half, inch and three-quarters long. And the idea is to put this thing on the end of a Phillips head screwdriver,
uh-huh,
stick it up against your drywall or sheetrock,
uh-huh,
give it a good hard shove and start turning, and it's got some really big deep screw or threads in it.
Uh-huh.
If I were a machinist, I would be able to tell you what that's called. But some really deep threads on the screw, and about six turns will put this thing flat into the drywall.
Whoa!
And then you can drive a screw into that unit, and they say you can hang like 30 pounds off this thing.
Man.
And I certainly wouldn't do that with the plastic sleeve things.
Okay, so what you put it in with a Phillips screwdriver.
Uh-huh.
And then you put a screw in the middle of that hole of the Phillips screw.
That's correct. There's a little hole right at the cross section of the Phillips screwdriver. And
yeah.
I've got all my shop lights hanging with those out in the garage. Mm-hmm.
What a deal.
It's really, it beats those plastic sleeves to all get out.
Yeah, but then you think it expands in the wall any way? Like, remember the old?
No, it is a hard, very hard plastic thing with such deep threads that it holds really tight, really hard.
The threads just hold it into the drywall.
Correct.
Well, we'll have to go do a little searching on that.
Yeah, no kidding. I have never seen one.
I haven't either. You say shop lights. Obviously, you wouldn't need those. Your wife would need those.
Yes, the wife would need them.
So she's into woodworking also.
She wasn't until we got married. And, I was mm-hmm. into it and started teaching her some things. And
it's that expensive.
She's very much into it now.
It's that expensive cabinet maker's table saw that got her interested in that, huh?
You got to love a wife that comes home and says, we need to upgrade our table saw. She went and took a woodworking class.
No kidding.
And, she just had a birthday recently, and she wanted tools for her birthday. So you got to love that.
Excellent,
you do,
man.
That's great.
Yeah, that sounds like the warden.
What a deal.
I mean, the warden...
Great.
I got a dog for my birthday, and the warden got a chainsaw. You know?
What a deal.
And so you actually own, I think you said your table saw cost how much?
We started out with a Craftsman contractor saw. It runs about $400, $450 or something.
Yeah.
And used it for eight or 9 years now. And made a lot of great stuff with it. But when it came to cutting the heavier material, the thicker wood, the thing was just dogging down. And so she took this class, and she came back and said, we need a cabinet saw.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay, it works for me,
Really?
We bought a $1,700 jet cabinet saw.
Whoa.
Runs off 220.
Wow.
10-inch blade, of course. And it's got a long extension table off to the right of it that has a router table built into it. And so it came with like a three-horse Bosch router.
Uh-huh.
And,
whoa.
That you can switch from quarter-inch collet to a half-inch collet. And I think that's what Don spotted my email when I said I used my first half-inch router bit for the first time last weekend.
Now, you, but this router comes as a part of the table saw. I mean, it's part of the deal.
Yes, it was.
For $1,700. So you got this mighty table saw and the router table for $1,700.
That's correct.
Okay, well, that makes it a little bit better.
I've got to ask one question because I never knew the difference much between, you know, $400 and a $1,700 table saw.
Tell us about that.
But are they like direct drive? Does the motor turn, or is it belt drive? Because I've heard
it's belt driven.
It is belt driven.
Okay.
And it's the Craftsman saw, I think, weighed about 200, 225. And this one weighs a little over 600 pounds.
Whoa.
So it's you know, you don't have the shake, rattle, and roll that you do with the Craftsman or the smaller saw. You know, it's much more stable. And I can cut 2-inch oak with this like butter, you know.
And so, the fence, I guess, is just really smooth, moving the fence to where you need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's all like this. I don't have room. My shop is about 18 by 18, and I don't really have room in there with everything else in there to handle a piece of plywood. So if I want to cut a piece of plywood, I set my saw out in the driveway. So you'd have to have a big enough shop where you could handle a piece of plywood.
My shop is a 2-car garage.
A 2-car garage.
Which I've just come out to.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, that's all it is a 2-car garage. I've got the jet cabinet saw in it. I've got a 6-inch joiner. I've got a 12-inch planer.
Whoa.
I've got the 12-inch Bosch compound miter saw.
Uh-huh.
I've got a floor drill press, a scroll saw.
Wow.
Pretty much got, you know, I don't want to say I got everything I need because you always use something else.
Well, you've got some real tools.
Got some real tools.
As opposed to this, I think my saw cost $150 at Lowe's, my table saw.
Well, I certainly didn't even start out with the Craftsman saw either. You know, the first table saw I had was a Skill tabletop saw, and I think it had a 5-inch blade or something on it. It had a pretty small blade on it. But
come a long ways, haven't
several
you?
Several years, you know.
What do you make? I mean, what sorts of making furniture? What do you?
We have made just a little bit of everything from end tables, coffee tables, pie safes, picnic tables, and Adirondack furniture.
Wow.
I've always said, if you give me a plan and I can make it. I may have to have somebody read the plan to me.
Uh-huh.
Keith, do you do this then, I mean, like for fun, or it sounds like maybe you sell some of this? Or
Everybody, no, it's strictly a hobby, and we've got a whole list of things we still want to do for our house, and people say, well, don't you sell it? And selling is very different. People don't want to pay
what
the stuff is worth. Yeah. Wood is very expensive in Florida.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of forests here.
And no. So
everything is shipped in, and it's just very expensive, and you know, when you, by the time you wood and put in the effort and the time and everything, people just don't want to pay what your stuff is worth, you know.
So most of the things you make, you're making for your house and yourself.
Sure, sure.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'd just like to see that big table saw.
Yeah,
I've never seen I don't know where you'd go, because obviously Lowe's is. Where'd you buy this thing?
We bought it. We've got a tool company here called Slim and Jim's Tool Company.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought it from them, but I believe Jet has an 800 number. I'm sure they'd be happy to put you in touch with a dealer in Texas, you know.
Well, I'm sure they would too, but I'd like to touch one before I.
Sure.
You know, I'd like to look at it before I. But not that I'm not going to buy one. I don't do it. I don't make anything you can put in the house.
Let me see if I can do this for you. It might be interesting. I'm going to slap you on a speakerphone and turn this puppy on once.
All right.
Let us
All right.
Hear.
We're ready.
Hang on.
All right.
We're ready. Putting it. Boy, it instantly came up to speed.
Didn't it? Whoa.
It's, you know, mine kind of winds up, winds down.
It had a mighty sound to it, didn't it?
And
that's what 220 will do for you.
That 220 will just do it. And of course, you were already wired for 220, so
had to have that put in. Well, it's in the garage, so they just ran I've got a big 220 extension cord running across the floor to the.
Yeah, like you would use on a mobile home or a tribal trailer, one of those.
That's correct.
I've seen those before, and they're pretty expensive in and of themselves. Yeah.
And the planer, the big planer you have would be a neat tool to have too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we did. We bought that quite a while ago and really haven't got the use out of it that, you know, for the money we paid for it.
Uh-huh. But if you had an uneven edge, man, it'd be the thing to have, wouldn't it?
Yep.
If you needed to true something up just a little bit.
What sort of a money figure do they go for?
I think we paid about $1,200 for that 8 years ago.
Boy, for $5,000, y'all could have gone down to the furniture store. And
but you don't get the enjoyment of taking lumber and making it yourself.
That's a fact.
That's true. I've never bought a piece of good wood. I've never bought a piece of oak. Everything I do is, I was thinking this morning, is I made a little shelf this morning. The one by my chair wasn't quite big enough, so I upgraded the shelf by my chair in the living room. A big deal. And old soft pine is about all I ever work with. But you're pretty serious about this stuff, I guess.
We try to be. I got started, of course, like lots of people do, taking shop when I was in junior high and high school.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I matured and was able to start really tools.
Your phone is cutting out, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Let me go back inside closer to the base then to get out of this hot garage anyway.
It's too hot out there anyway.
That's right. But for the beginners, you know, they don't need to start out with a, you know, $1,700 saw. You know, like I said, my first one was about a $50 skill tabletop saw, you know, that you just set on top of a bench.
And you were amazed then, golly, a blind guy can cut a straight line.
You've got a straight edge and a fence, you know.
And that's why I bought mine, because I never could cut a straight line. So I thought, well, I'll fix this. Alan Sears had one, I think, for $120, and I went and I still got it. I bought did a little upgrade. I bought a Pro Tools little table saw that's a little better, but I still, you know, everything in my shop didn't cost $1,700.
Sure.
Now, your wife, does she work?
Yes, she does.
What does she do for a living?
She is in charge of information systems for nursing at an all-children's hospital here in St. Petersburg.
And so she's very involved in computers also.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, good deal. And you don't have any children yet? Not going to have any?
No. The RP is a hereditary thing, and I just didn't want to go down that road.
So, that's very good. Well, it sounds like you got your life together, and things are kind of going your way. You actually, with Freedom Scientific, most of the selling you do is people calling you, right?
It's about 50-50. We do some outbound calling. You know, I believe I called you about renewing your SMA. You know.
Yeah, but I'm already a customer, so it wasn't like you're selling.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of cold calling.
Yeah.
We do have a customer base.
And so you work through that.
Right. And like I say, it's such a great company to work for. When you make some products that just really change people's lives, it's an easy sell.
Well, we have no complaint with their products. We think they're too high, but I have no complaint with Jaws. I love it.
Yep.
I think it costs too much, but then that's neither here nor there. And you don't have anything to do with that, do you?
I don't have a thing to do with it.
Obviously, I don't either. Yeah. Well, Keith, we appreciate you very much, and I see your postings from time to time. You're on our list, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Good. Well, keep it up, and might talk with you about doing a Blind Like Me show in the future.
Oh, that'd be great.
And we'll visit with you a little bit later. Thanks for being on the show. Keith Patterson.
It's been my pleasure.
Good talking with you, Keith.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Back with more of the Blind Handyman in just a minute.
one word, at hotmail.com. That's blindhandyman at hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind like me. Blind like me. Lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind handyman listserv. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Everybody, this is Phil Parr. We're enjoying putting these little programs together for you. We hope you're enjoying them, too. We've been on with the Blind Handy Man for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem. You can help us with it. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. Blind Handyman, all one word, at hotmail.com, or Blind Like Me, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the show. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
For listening to the Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Yay!
Right.
Oh, the buses came, brought the people.
And they poured your slab.
And they poured the slab.
Let's just kind of give them a house. Don is building a house, most of you know. And he's already going through this. Well, I didn't do the garage. Well, get used to it, big boy.
Under the strict supervision.
Strict supervision.
And watchful eye.
Of the warden.
Of the warden.
But the, yes. Your slab is poured,
the
and
slab
the guy may be framing today.
It's possible. We are leaving as soon as the show
this
is over.
This little nothing show's
and
over.
We're
check it out.
Spring out
and
there.
And you're going to call us back and let us know if the nail gun guy, if the guy's out there.
Yeah. Right.
Putting,
give us the update.
Putting those, but I'll tell you what. If I were you, and I know you will, I'd go around and check the plate very carefully and make sure that there are no gaps in it. I'll tell you the reason why. There is obviously a chase of some kind where a rat can get into my attic right there by the, by the patio door where you come out of the den.
Right.
Because you can hear him going up. And the only thing I can figure is that there's a little gap in the plate there. So I would go around and touch that plate, everyone. Look at that plate. Or you wouldn't have to touch it, but look at that plate and make sure that he covered every square inch of that, or the area around the edge of the slab. You know what I'm saying?
Well, actually, I'm probably not going to do that. And, you know,
why not?
You know, being married to the warden.
She will.
Well, I was going to say, you know, this is a lady that hires a trainer for everything. If she was going to crochet, she would hire her own personal trainer. And so just a while ago, we were talking about the guy named Chuck. He kind of volunteered. He is a builder, and he works for Moore Construction here. And so he's offered his services to inspect the house at critical times, i.e. the pouring of the slab, the framing. And so he's...
In other words, he's going to come out and tell you whether the guys are doing...
Yeah, and just tell us what we need to do.
Well, that could be dangerous. You know
what it is.
Yeah, we don't want any conflicts with the builder. I don't think we'll have any problem, but I mean, I think it's a neat deal. But I agree with you. I mean, you know, every time we go, this is the fourth house that this builder is building, I guess you could call in this subdivision. It's sort
like,
of sprawled
like,
out.
Like this.
Yeah, identical floor plan. So every time we go and visit someone whose house is a little ahead of ours, we come up with something new. And, of course, then the builder hates that because we want to make a change. And so, actually, we've tried to avoid any major conflicts. We have a lot of confidence in the builder, but it's just a lot of things to check. You know, the builder, it's sort of like our banker told us. He loaned us the money. He said, we do not inspect your home, even though we loan the money from time to time on an interim loan. We don't inspect it for you. We just inspect it to satisfy us, so whether you're going to give the man the money or not. So if there's anything wrong, it's your problem, not ours. You see?
Yeah.
So, your advice is well taken.
Because the only reason that could happen is they left there's a little gap in the plate there.
Yeah. It would have to be.
The plate now is the thing that goes around the edge of your slab that the actual wall sits
stand on. Yeah, it's a 2x4 treated, Wilmanized.
2x4.
Two by four, yeah. And that's where your wall starts.
And it fits down. It fits down on some.
Well, as they pour the slab, they insert bolts, anchor bolts.
And so this 2x4, they drill holes in this 2x4
to match
and
up.
To match up with these anchor bolts, and they fit it down. They fit this plate down on the concrete slab, and then they put a big nut and washer on top of that to tie that plate that anchors the plate to the concrete slab.
In a sense, it is the outline. It is the wood outline of your house.
Of your house. And then they stick frame a wall, and they stand that up on this plate, and they nail this wall to the plate. This stick frame wall that they've got. And that's how they do it. So you should have, if the guy's over there, you got plate laid all around your house now, don't you?
Should. Or a lot of times now, I've done it both ways. You know, one couple of years I framed with a brother-in-law of mine who took pity on me and gave me a job, and we built our frames on the plate and then stood the whole thing up and then slid. Instead of drilling a hole in the plate, you cut a slot and you slide it on that bolt. And
in other words,
you don't put the board over the hole. You slot that board and slide the whole wall. That is, we were standing up 8 feet by 24.
And that's
together
that's
on the
big,
ground.
That's a big, nailed together on the ground. That'd be a better way to do it.
And then you have, it's heavy, but if you've got, five guys on a job.
Because if you don't do that, then you have to angle, or what they call toenail, the nail down through the
concrete. Well, you do that on your a lot of time on your inside walls. You don't have the stud bolts, and you drive concrete.
Well, no, but I'm saying this guy's got the plate down, and then he's framed him a little wall, and he's going to stand up that wall, and he's going to attach it to the plate. The only way he could do it is either put some blocks down beside each stud, which I would do, or he could hello.
Yeah.
Oh, my radio went off.
Yeah.
He could do the whole wall. Yeah, I've never really seen him toenail.
How else would he tie that wall to the plate?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Other than he toenailed.
Exterior walls, I've seen him build them all on the ground. And then
that looks like to me would be
standard
the way.
And
that may be the way. That may be the way your guy's doing it. I guess you can let us know next week if he's framing.
I will see today.
Anyway, we wanted to talk a little bit about fall and fireplaces.
I had some winter rising, and I think last year we did we did a show about, and we talked about the chimney preparation and just different little this and that. And then also, over the course of several shows, we've harangued about this and that. And I think somebody probably heard me expound a little bit about how inspectors, home inspectors, and were they good or bad, or who's paying them, or whose benefit were they. But anyway, one thing I learned, we were talking about before we went on here just a while ago, Phil and I, about something I learned. One of the complaints on my house that recently sold, and now I'm renting, I have nothing further to do with the house, that the inspector pointed out to the buyer was that the spark arrestor in the chimney was damaged and needed to be repaired. Well, I didn't know two things, that the chimney had a spark arrestor, nor did I know what that spark arrestor did. I've heard about it in association with mufflers on trail bikes riding in the forest.
Four-wheelers.
Four-wheelers, but I had never, it's reasonable now, and it makes sense, that you would have one on a fireplace. And what it is, like mine is a brick chimney, fairly substantial and fairly tall. And at the top, there's an opening to the four winds. I mean, it's just like a tower standing up there, and they're all at the top, probably 8 inches high, and however wide the chimney is, I don't know, 3 feet. It may be 3 feet square. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
There's
pretty
an opening.
Big chimney.
Oh, yeah.
Well, little did I know, because I can't see probably 19 feet up in the air, however tall this is, that there is a screen mesh that goes over this opening. And it's designed, of course, just what it says, spark arrest, to keep the sparks from your fireplace from going out on your shingles, especially in my case, since the roof in one area, one direction, is higher than my chimney.
Uh-huh.
And so Anyway, at some point in time, I had about 3 years ago, I had my chimney cleaned and a new chimney cap put on, and it was about a $400 project, normally about $69 to clean the chimney, but this chimney cap, I guess, had to be fabricated, and it was like $300 and something.
And at Lord.
I didn't see it until it was on. I didn't see the product as they bought it out. I brought it out. I was just someplace else. So I was unaware. I just assumed that these were just an opening. I mean, the spark arrestor makes sense.
Yeah.
So in the course of my times, I'm one that sometimes has no fear, and I'll burn. I know your fireplace is not supposed to be an incinerator, but one time it seemed like I had accumulated several cardboard boxes or...
That's not the place to burn.
Old pine wood. Nevertheless, I assumed that my fire, because it sounded like a jet airplane taking off, I obviously had a good-sized chimney fire going.
In
the course of that, I destroyed the existing newly installed spark arrestor.
Really?
My brand spanking new chimney cap.
Did you destroy the chimney cap also?
No, apparently not. In other words, it was metal, and so I just assumed that
the chimney cap is just a little dome that kind of sits above your chimney.
This one's pretty good size. It's probably 3 feet by 3 feet and looks like a little Chinese pagoda. It has a little gabled metal roof on it.
But under that, on the top of your chimney, is a piece of screen.
The spark arrestor is a screen.
But it's not on the top of the chimney. It goes around these openings. In other words, it sits vertical. So apparently in the course of my burning all these cardboard boxes and pine, I destroyed the spark arrestor. And so that was one thing that the inspector pointed out. So then the problem is, how do you fix it? I don't want to go buy a new 400 in the selling of my house. I agreed to fix this to the new guy, and it was we took each other's word. I told him before I moved as a renter.
The chimney guy can fix it for you.
Well, right, but it is, and that's the whole deal. The cleaner guy who comes, because the way my roof is pitched, you have to put your ladder up on the roof and then climb another 15 feet or so to get to the top of the chimney.
You're
already 8 feet or 10 feet off the ground, and then you have to go up, so you're up almost 20 feet. So anyway, I'm trying to find some friend that will go up there and take the chimney cap off, and then I think we can buy some mesh wire.
This
may be a great job for liquid nail or something that we would screw it or glue it into this.
Why don't you just call somebody?
Well, I will. I hope
the man yellow jackets get you.
No, you don't.
Because you won't call anybody. You're trying to save money.
No, I'm calling somebody. I'm not
just
going
play
up
your
there.
Recording.
Not
going
to do that project. Huh?
No, I've got him. I've called my man Chuck here. He said he would look at it, but this is not a job that the old blind guy would
not
do.
Not do it yourself.
No. Well, they say don't burn pine and don't burn paper in your fireplace. You're to burn hardwoods only, which I do a lot of, but I'm going to have. We've lived here 12 years. I'm going to have the chimney cleaned this year. That's one of my deals. Then we'll get Houston while we're sitting around drinking and have him look up a chimney. I'm going to call a chimney sweep.
A poppin' son.
Go ahead, Sean.
Now, this spark arrestor is just like a thin type screen then that can burn out if it gets too hot, is what you're saying? Like it can burn holes in it or something, and then the sparks can get through?
Well, mine actually, just came loose. I assume it's a little heavier gauge than like screen on a window screen, because that's not very fireproof at all.
Yeah.
And, in other words, it's like the chimney cap has four windows in it.
It's got this wire around it.
Have you ever seen the protective wire mesh that they used to put on half screen doors? Maybe that was heavier than the
I bet it's like hardware cloth.
Or a little thicker even. I mean, I figure it maybe the mesh is like a half inch wide or a quarter
but it would
inch
have
wide.
But it would have little square holes in it.
Yeah, little square.
And that's
holes.
That's hardware cloth. Yeah. That's like you can buy all kinds of grade. You buy heavy.
Yeah.
Medium, light. Abney's has rolls of hardware cloth.
And so the big thing, and actually this thing is on hinges, and if the guy can get up to the top of the chimney, of course there you are, just by yourself, I'm on top of this ladder. It opens up like a door.
Glenn Schiff will go up there and do that for you in a heartbeat. Okay. You thought about him?
No, I haven't, because, you know, you tried to get him to do something, and he wouldn't climb anymore. You know, he'd had some heart problems.
Did he say he wouldn't climb? What
yeah,
would
you
I want
know,
him to
you
do?
Was going to get him to clean some gutters, and he
No,
he wouldn't do
that's
that.
Somebody else. Wasn't me.
Anyway, so I have a guy.
Just think if the wasp flew out of the top of that chimney.
Well, I was going to say.
Top of that ladder.
I was going to say, another reason
Whoa.
You want something up there, you want some screen
the
up
garments.
There, is you'll get birds.
Oh,
down
birds.
I have some birds. I think they've gone now, but we had birds.
If you're not careful, you get birds in your chimney.
Chimney sweeps.
I've had chimney sweeps in that North Street yeah. chimney a number of times. Until
and an owl.
I had an owl. I don't know how in the world that owl got in this chimney here. Because that happened. That was over here.
Really?
And
no, I thought it was
no,
in that house at Norris Street, because Lou Ann, I thought you said walk in and said, nice owl.
No, I'm pretty sure it was over. I'm pretty sure it was here.
Yeah, she said, hey, Phil,
that's a nice,
nice owl.
Owl.
Where'd you
yeah.
get it?
Yeah, this owl was perched up on the top of the reason I think it was here, he was up on top of those drape things, that those curtain things that go over my patio door.
Blew down the old chimney.
Of course, Charmer yeah. and Charlie were just going nuts.
Oh, I'm sure.
So anyway, have your chimney cleaned if you haven't had it done in a while, and make
and
sure you got
check
spark arrestor.
Spark arrestor.
Make sure it's
that's
up there.
Right.
Get somebody to, if you can't see, get somebody to come out there that can tell you what's actually going on. Get somebody. That's a job that's probably going to require some help.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we only go to one side? My radio's. I'm losing my radio.
I am too. Me I'm too. Losing
now,
everything here.
Now we're back.
That.
Now I don't know what
back.
Happened. Anyway, thank you, Don Shaw,
yeah.
for coming and being with us. And
sure, man.
Contributing,
good show.
Helping. And Don Patterson.
Yes, sir.
Good luck on your house. And,
yeah.
I was just kidding about the Yellow Jackets. It was just a joke.
No, I don't think it was a joke.
Wesley Clark.
Yeah.
Remember Wesley Clark? President Clark?
Your Democrat side came out. I know.
That's right. Wesley Clark. Tom Houston, thank you much, sir.
You're certainly welcome.
And we'll see you all next week. Blind Handy Man, it's email blindhandyman@hotmail.com. We love to hear from you. And if you don't write us, we're going to do our Jimmy Swaggart imitation, friends. We'll see you next week on the Blind Handy Man. I see, said the blind man, as you pick up your hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.